710 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every once in a while, we get a chance to talk to our former governor and now U.S. Senator Rick Scott. He's on the line with me now. Senator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Hey, thank you. I just listened to your ad about what you guys are trying to make sure people are ready for hurricanes. Thanks for doing that. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. No, always, always. And trying to teach people the 7 days, not the 3 days, and you know, teaching people, of course, to have their plan and to be ready and to, you know, not focus too much on the wind speed, focus on the flooding and the water and the surge and all that stuff. Yeah, we try really hard every year to make sure that people are aware of that stuff, as you know, having dealt with so many catastrophes.
Storm surge is real and it kills you.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. You know, the big story out of D.C. right now, of course, is the haggling, fighting, whatever, over the increasing the debt limit and or cutting spending and or reforming spending programs. We're pretty close into like 8 or 9 days away from something happening. I think most people they feel like we go through this story every year or two and they always solve it. What's your take on what's going to happen here?
Well, I don't know why it's that hard. You know, if you look at what people care about inflation, they care about their retirement benefits. Well, if both sides cared about that, then you say, okay, so let's figure out how we get people back to work. I've got a provision in there that on the House bill. It says if you're able-bodied, you don't have young children, you can't be on a government program if you're not willing to work. So I'm glad that's in there, and I'm glad Kevin McCarthy's fighting for that. But this idea that the Democrats and Biden just don't want to stop this reckless spending. It's reckless. Spending is crazy. So I'm always optimistic, but I don't get why this is that hard. Let's worry about what people care about, inflation, retirement benefits, medical bills. If you did that, this would be pretty easy to solve.
You know, when I think about it that way, and when I think about how, like, every time we come up against this problem, it seems like we cave. You know, like, we don't get genuine reform in place. But to be fair, when Republicans have power, it seems like, you know, we raise the debt ceiling, too, and we spend a bunch, too. It feels like there's just no appetite in D.C. for genuine, meaningful, long-term, large-scale reform of our spending.
Well, then you should be disappointed whoever supports it without structural reform, because it's causing this inflation. It is directly caused by a government that cannot live within its means. So stop and think about this first. Are you excited when you have a child that wastes money and the bank says, oh, I'll give you a little bit more money? Are more excited when you say, hey, they finally figured it out and they're going to stop spending all this money? So we should demand that our federal government does the same thing, live within our means. We all do it every day. Your government can do it, too. They just don't want to.
I feel like if you could get Dave Ramsey courses for all of the people in Congress, that you know, maybe that would solve it. President Biden announced this week that we are getting ready to allow F-16s to be used by the Ukrainians. We're going to train them. And I support this. I'm surprised that there are – I don't know. It feels like it's been every – it's like a struggle every inch of the way to get the kind of military support for Ukraine to push back against Russia that they need. Is that surprise you that there's been so much criticism?
One or the other. Yeah, I mean, let's just do one or the other. Do we want them to win, or do we want them to have a protracted war? Let's give them the weapons to win. I want them to win. Now, I expect Germany and Macron and France and everybody to do their part, because we don't have unlimited dollars. I mean, like almost $32 trillion of debt.
Right.
But if we're going to help Ukraine, let's help them win and defeat the Russians. If we're not, let's get out of the way and say, this is crazy. Why are we doing this?
Do you feel like, based on what you know of what's going on there, that winning is an option at this point, or is it stalemate and it's just going to be another case where Russia is going to get what they've got because we don't have the willingness to push them back out of there?
I think it just depends on how hard the Ukrainians want to fight, and if our elected leaders and you know what, it can't be corruption. We got to get Europe to this war is in Europe, so we should expect European countries like Germany to step up. I don't think they've done enough yet. I think there's some things that are not working perfectly. I think Biden's been slow in giving them lethal weapons. So I remain hopeful. All the briefings I get, People are optimistic because of the willingness of Ukrainian citizens to fight. They're concerned about some of our allies not helping enough. They're concerned that Biden has been slow to give them lethal weapons. But you have to really admire the people of Ukraine. They're fighting for their freedom.
You well know what's been going on in Florida, the policies that have been passed by the legislature and then signed into law by Governor DeSantis. I sometimes feel like we get lied about so much. This must be like living in a communist state, you know, where you know the information is false, but you don't know it because you're a citizen. I know the information is false, but it's still out there like everybody else gets lied to. Now the NAACP is saying don't come to Florida. What do you make of this?
I mean, look, this is just fear mongering. I think they must have needed slow news day, and NAACP just wanted to be in the news. It's absurd fear mongering. There's no room for hate or discrimination. This is a state that we love people. We want people to be successful. We want kids to get a great education. We want people to get jobs. We want people to be safe. So I hope everybody continues to flock to Florida and enjoy the great state we built.
Well, we do have one new item here locally that I know you have been working on as well, which is the reopening of NAS Pensacola to public access 7 days a week. This is a huge relief and win.
Finally, right? This was work. I didn't think it would be this hard to get this done. But this is, we got NAS Pensacola opened, I guess it was the 17th. So I look forward actually to come up there and bring one of my grandsons up. He'll love going to it. So I'm looking forward to come up. And I mean, this is what I feel good about. This is why I like being in the Senate. I get to help solve problems, and so that's why I'm running for re-election. I'm going to just keep trying to do everything I can to make, you know, this is the state that everything's possible.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And we are all super relieved. And I appreciate the work that you put in on making this happen. One of the things I've been reading about just the last couple of days is, you know, we're in the process of procuring the next generation air dominance aircraft. Of course, the F-35 is also our ongoing procurement. The F-22, we're kind of cutting that away, which is disappointing to me, but I understand why we're doing it. What I'm finding concerning is sort of the future of manned versus unmanned military action, obviously with Whiting Field here locally and with NAS Pensacola here locally and our training of pilots, because we are specifically contracting, at least the Air Force is contracting, and I got to assume the Navy's going to come along too with this, is that every manned platform will be accompanied by two unmanned platforms, like 3-for-1 kind of thing. What's your thinking, or what are you seeing from the inside of where the Navy and the Air Force are going with unmanned aviation and sort of a pilotless future? Do you think that is a realistic concern down the road, that we will have a pilotless future?
I don't think we'll have a pilotless future, but I think we're going to continue to see what can we do through drone technology. I don't think we're ever not going to have pilots, because it takes training to be able to do these things. And if you look at why America, why you don't want to fight Americans, is because of the ability, our training of our pilots. So I don't think it's ever going to go away. But I think we're going to continue to look at ways that we reduce the risk of losing a human being, especially our trained and valiant law enforcement, our military men and women. So I think we're going to keep looking at things, but I don't think we're ever going to get rid of pilots.
Well, I certainly hope that's true. I believe both in the value of us obviously training the pilots here locally, but I believe in the value of the human in the machine making decisions rather than any machine in the machine making decisions. I certainly believe in that. Last thing I just wanted to ask you, because we're kind of in the vicinity of the military stuff, is, man, I hear and see so many stories about like wokeness in the military, that we're training a social program rather than training for war fighting. And I worry about that. I worry about the effect of that perception on recruiting, but I also worry about the capacity of the military for performing its core function if we ever do get into a conflict. And it looks, all the time like maybe China's going to push us in that direction. How can you gauge for me sort of to what degree you think that sort of cultural stuff, wokeness, is degrading our military capacity, or is that an oversold story? Is that an overblown concern?
Oh, well, I think it's true. I was on a website the other day, and it was a satire, and it says the Chinese military is practicing screaming pronouns at American military. we're seeing it in recruiting. our recruiting numbers are down. I think our recruiting numbers are down quite a bit, other than for the Marines. And I think this wokeness is part of it. And they're spending too much time on diversity. When I was in the service, I mean, it was a melting pot. The service was a melting pot, had opportunity for everybody. It was a meritocracy. So I don't get this. I think Milley's done a bad job. I think he's more worried about, you know, what, you know, Washington Post writes about him rather than making sure. I want the world to be scared to death of the American military is what I want. I'm not too worried about pronouns. I'm more worried about without, you know, if they're, how lethal are they? I want people to be scared to death of the U.S. military.
Absolutely. And that's whenever I see our aviation, some of our ships, I just say that's what we have as a capacity. And I worry that, on the preparation of the human resource side of it, we're not doing the things that we used to do all the time to make that the truth, that they are basically terrified of the U.S. military. U.S. Senator Rick Scott from the great state of Florida, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thank you for serving. I know that being in politics is never fun. So I hope you at least get a little bit of enjoyment. And when you do come to Pensacola and bring the grandkids, I hope you'll give us a heads up and we can meet you somewhere or see you on the beach or something like that. But thank you for the time this morning, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, Andrew. Have a great day. Bye-bye.